The book of Jude, still in the book of Jude, but we're reading it over and over again, soaking up what's going on over here. Remember, what we're talking about is we're talking about false teachers, false prophets, false Christians. No, are you kidding? There's no way. They sound like a Christian. They sound like they are saved. They say the right things. They even tell me, God bless you when I leave. Could it be that they're fake? There's a possibility. By their works is one of the things that we've been looking at, that they'll be known, the false teachers, and not necessarily the work itself of the ministry, but their conduct. If their conduct isn't synonymous of their life, they may be faking it. It's easy to fake it. You know, the Bible calls hypocrites, literally the word hypocrite means actor. All of us act to a certain degree. I was sharing with a gentleman this afternoon that I'm witnessing to, and I went to his place of work, and he works for himself, so it's not stealing from his boss in any way. And the thing is, we were talking about these things, and he's coming out of the world right now from difficult situations and difficult things that he was taking into his body that he shouldn't. And the thing is, he's sincerely pursuing that path. Yet these false teachers blatantly and openly do it sometimes in the congregation. Somebody sent a text message to me saying that in Wisconsin, I believe it was, that there was a church that publicized that if you go to our church, you can openly smoke pot all you want. 600 new people showed up that month. And the thing is, could that be a false teacher? The Bible says to be of a sober mind. People ask me all the time, can I drink? Can I smoke? Can I do this? You can do whatever you want. The Lord is not going to force you to do anything. He's going to allow you to serve Him, to love Him, and to willfully lay down anything that's hindering. It does not have to be a drug or a substance. It could be things that you're taking in with your eye gate, your ear gate, things coming out of your mouth, the water gate, the Bible calls it. You know, once you open that, forget it. If we're not conforming to the Word of God and practicing these things called self-control, we're just saying the words. There's no real change in our life. We're not giving it all that we can. I see people give it all that they can in so many different ways, in sports, in college, on the job, in all kinds of things. They give it their all, after all. This is what we're supposed to do as men. This is what we're supposed to do as women. But yet, in following the Bible, it's okay if I say these things, you know? You got to talk to the employees that way. You got to do this. You got to cuss. You got to show them that you're standing your ground. No, Jesus said, turn the cheek, not stand your ground. Jesus said, let your words be pleasant, not cutting. You don't have to say one cuss word to make someone shrink down to this. What are we doing with our life? That's the key. Are we conforming to the will of God, or are we getting as close to the edge, as we mentioned last week, as possible? How close, Pastor? How close can I get to losing my salvation so I don't cross that line? I don't think you have anything to worry. I think you've crossed it a long time ago if you're thinking like that. Because your heart is not given to. Your mouth says that. It's amazing how we can deceive ourselves. The biggest enemy isn't Satan. Satan has very limited power over us. Our biggest enemy is right here between our ears. We think it, we don't do it, we think it, we do it. We think we know better than anybody else. We think that we know God's full heart when we barely know His Word. All these things, the Bible says that He warns us about deceiving ourselves. Don't deceive yourself. Don't be deceived. Over and over He tells us that. These false teachers that we're talking about, they've deceived themselves into thinking it's okay. Let's see if we can get 600 people in the church. God's not interested in quantity as much as quality. Do you want to be in church often, or do you want to be given to the Lord? You can show up at church all the time, but if your heart's not right, it's acts of service. That's all it is. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would allow us to venture into the areas that are hard to hear sometimes for the believer, hard to hear for and will not be heard by the false teachers or the false prophets, the tares that are among us, Lord God. Father, we pray for them. We pray that they would come to their senses and repent, Lord God. Help us to stay close to you, as close as we can, Lord God. Help us to do our best, even as we would in the office or at work, anywhere we work, that we would do that in our life, Lord God, in our home. As I was sharing with this gentleman today, Lord God, the ministry starts at home. Help us to make sure our ministry at home is taken care of, Lord God. We ask all this in Jesus' name. In the book of Jude, we've read it before, I'll read it again. But remember, first of all, in Acts, on Sunday's service, we got into the first chapter of Acts. We went through the Easter celebration and the crucifixion and the torture that Christ went through. And then last week we had communion in the book of Acts. Because what now? What are you going to do? They saw their Savior rise up to heaven. They saw him get killed. They saw him take his life up and go up into the heavens. And now they're left in their mind. What do we do? They instantly went back to the obedience, because Jesus had told them to go to the upper room and wait. That's one of the biggest issues in Christendom, is that we will pray, we will read, but we'll go out on our own. Remember, I talked about how we often say, God, which car do I get? Do I get the red one? Do I get the blue one? We said that on Sunday. And God, tell me. We're already made up our mind. We haven't conformed to the will of God. We've made up our mind. Do I get the red one or the blue one? And God says, I never told you to buy a car. You should be content with the one you have. And see, there's nothing wrong with having things, but you want to seek God's will in everything. And when you do that, you know you're in God's will. It's just like, okay, this is good. Here in the book of Jude, we're going to see that we have to adhere to the Word of God, not just to the people speaking Word of God, because they can twist it around. That's what they're going to do. In the book of Acts, we looked at three Greek words. Remember the en, in us. We spoke of the Holy Spirit, that he was going to be almost like three different things in our life, the Holy Spirit. En, in us. When you ask God into your life, the Holy Spirit comes in you, starts to reside in you. And then there was the epi, remember the EPI, upon you. And you receive the Holy Spirit upon you, like in the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And they spoke in other tongues and they were able to understand different languages as were being spoken. And then there was the word para, God with us. He's with us always. Even before I gave my life to the Lord, even before you gave your life to the Lord, he's with us always, wooing us, trying to bring us to him, taking care of us in difficult situations. He's always been with us. We're going to focus a little bit on the epi, upon us, and on the para, with us. And we're going to see how it ties into the teaching. In verse 4, in the book of Jude, it says, for certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of God, of our God, into lewdness. The word there is filthy vices. If you've ever been bound by a filthy vice, you know what they're talking about, this word lewdness. And they deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. How do they do that? By not doing what God tells them to do. It says in verse 8, likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority. Ooh, there's a big one. The first thing, they're dreamers. They're thinking of ways, thinking of things, they defile themselves. They indulge in things that they're not supposed to indulge in, of the flesh. They reject authority. So these are earmarks how you can spot. Discernment, you know, a lot of people talk about discernment. Well, God's given me great discernment. That's good. Typically, I've noticed that discernment comes by prayer and the Word of God. Prayer and the Word of God. Because as you pray and you seek God's will, that God would help you to let go of filthy vices that maybe we have and cling to us, that the Word of God will address it, and now you're presented with an option. Do you take it in, or do you just discard it? Not now, Lord. These dreamers defile the flesh. They're in sin. They reject authority. They don't come under the authority of anyone. They're just floating around all over the place, doing whatever they want to do, come under the submission of no one. They speak evil of dignitaries, those who are in charge. They bash and trash and, you know, just throw them to the side. And it says in verse 11, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. He was an angry guy. You know Cain, he killed his brother. If you are a person given to anger, there's a possibility that you're not conforming to the Word of God. You have not given your heart to God. You may have said the prayer. You said, Lord, take me as I am. Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I give you my mind. Lord, but I'm not going to give you my flesh. I'm going to burst out in anger every chance I get. Any opportunity, whether it's justified or not. If it's a justified means, do we go out in anger? We shouldn't. We should try not to. If it's righteous indignation, that's a different thing. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, which is angry. It's uncontrolled speech, if you will. They have run greedily in the error of Balaam. Greed, remember that he was the prophet for profit, and he perished. And the rebellion of Korah. Korah was envious of other people. How can I get what they got? And their whole thing was keeping up with the Joneses kind of thing. And they did whatever they had to do. So we see the warnings here in Jude yet again. Now, if you will, we're going to float because we've been floating into all these different books like Timothy and Titus that talk about false teachers. Here we're going to be in 2 Peter. In 2 Peter verse 1 through 21, we're going to see a little bit about faith. Simon Peter was a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. We saw that last week with Paul. Paul gives his accreditation as a bondservant of God, given to God, willfully to God, and an apostle. But it's neat, he mentions bondservant first, as in Exodus 21:6. To those who have obtained like precious faith, faith, complete trust or confidence in someone or something. How many of you would say, and don't raise your hand, just in your heart, answer or your mind, how many of you would say that you have complete trust and confidence in Jesus? Think about it before you answer. Complete. If Jesus said, take your son, your only son, and take him up to the hill and sacrifice him at the place that I will show you, do you have complete faith in God? This is a tough situation here. Abraham did. And he took Isaac up there. We have problems sometimes with the smallest things of faith. When the bills are going to get paid, if they're going to get paid, will I get well, and the different things that we pray for. But think about it, complete trust or confidence in God. Now we try, do we not? We try to attain that type of faith where we trust God completely, and when things are going good, it's easy to trust Him, but when things aren't going good, it's hard. We say, God, I gotta depend on You. For my children. I got to depend on You for my job. It's in peril. Whatever it is, I know You're my provider, not them. God, help us. Help me to trust You more. Increase our faith, His disciples said. And that should be our prayer as well. It says in verse 1 that we have like precious faith. Okay, the word like, what does that mean? Same characteristics or qualities as or similar to. Do we have the like precious faith that he's speaking of? Peter. Peter was one guy who was super close to God. He wanted to serve God so bad he tripped over himself. He made many mistakes. But nevertheless, his faith was secure and strong, and it was in Jesus and nothing else. How do you know? He left his job. If God were to call you and say, leave your job, I want you to go into poverty, and I want you to go to this third world country, Would you do it? Do you trust God to say, I can do that? I know you're calling me, God. This is what we're talking about. How much are we given to the Lord? And how much are we holding back of ourselves? Like precious faith is who he's talking to. As he writes this letter to a group of Christians, those who have obtained, he must know them, like precious faith. With us, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember, they were killing Christians at that time. It wasn't the way it is now. We can serve openly. It says in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the epignosis of God and of Jesus our Lord. The epignosis, the AP before the ignosis, that's the AP. Same beginning word with the book of Acts, in us. Jesus is in us, epi, in us. He's talking to those who have accepted Jesus Christ into their life, the epignosis, knowing him, of him, and he's in you. It goes on to say, in verse 3, and his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life, godliness, through the epignosis of him. If Jesus is in you, he's given you divine power. What are you going to do with that divine power? Are you going to invest in it, like he says in the book of Matthew? Or are you going to bury it, like the evil servant? You have all these abilities and qualities that God has given you, maybe even the ability to lead, but you will not do it, not under any authority, but on your own free will and accord, and you're not being obedient to the word of God as he's trying to train you up. Then you're just burying it. You see, we can do a lot of good things that God never asked us to do. But then when he tells us to do something, we better hear his voice. He says that his sheep hear his voice. They know him. We have to wait on the Lord. Should I do this, Lord? In verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust isn't just sexual. Lust is anything we want, and we're going to do anything to get it. We're going to sacrifice anybody as long as we get it. Doesn't matter. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, because he's entrusted, he's given us the EP. He's moved in and taken residence in your heart, in your home. Are you going to be obedient? This very reason, all that he did for you and for me, he says, giving all diligence, everything you can. If you're a cyclist and you cycle 20, I knew a guy who would do 20 miles a day training. I knew another cyclist who was more given. Come on, more given than that? Yep, he would do 100 miles a day. 100 miles a day. And he didn't infringe on his family. He didn't infringe on his work. He would do it way early in the morning. How much do we give the Lord? Is it the scraps at the table? Oh God, by the way, you know. Here, this is for you. I love you, Lord, here. Or do we give him everything? Or as much as we can. For this very reason, all that God did for us, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Here you see we can add to our faith. How? By virtue. What is virtue? Virtue is a particular moral excellence. That's what it means. That's what virtue is. Maybe you never heard this, and this is the first time you heard this, so now you're accountable to do this. If you are of like precious faith, if you've tasted and seen the divine nature of God, you know you're saved, then add to your faith virtue, moral excellence. Strive for the best. Strive for the top. And then to your virtue, give knowledge. This isn't the word epignosis. This is the word gnosis. That means study or text. Do you study the Word of God? Are you constantly reading the Word of God. If not, then there's an area you can increase there. I was speaking to a person the other day, and he just didn't know this. And when I told him, he says, I'm going to do that. I'm going to start doing that. So to your faith, add virtue. To your virtue, gnosis or ignosis. Study the Word of God. Learn the Word of God. To your gnosis, self-control. Remember the false teachers? They're given to anger and profit and envy and all this other stuff. Well, they got a bigger church. I'm going to use their program and see if that works for me. It's not about the bigger church. It's about speaking the truth of the Word of God. So to the knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. Hippomone is the Greek word. Giving it everything you got. Stick-to-itiveness, hanging in there. When things are hard and time is stressed and you don't have the time to read the Word of God, do you say tomorrow or do you say, I'm going to make the time even though I'm late, Lord. I'm just going to do it. So to your self-control, add perseverance. To your perseverance, add godliness. So to the hupomone, add godliness. Holiness is the word. It means different. Do things differently now than what you are doing them or were doing them. To godliness, brotherly kindness. It comes from the word phileo, Philadelphia. And to brotherly kindness, agape, self-sacrificing love. Instead of putting us first, start putting others first. That's agape. Agape is a choice to do that. That's all it is. For if these things are yours, and now this is the part that I think is cool, because adding to ourselves all diligence and all these things that are there, do you want to abound in Christ? And everybody probably says, yes, Lord, yes. Do you want to be fruitful? Lord, I do. I want to be fruitful. Do you want to know and feel and hear and experience God in a deeper sense than you are now? Yes, Lord, I do. Then verse 8 is for you. For if these things are yours, those that we just spoke of, the adding to, are yours and abound, it's constantly present in your life, you're constantly practicing these things, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the epignosis of our Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing Him spiritually, physically, mentally, His Word starts to open up to you in a way you never imagined. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness. Because without these, we're walking around blind, we're bumping into obstacles that God never intended you to bump into. Even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Never forget the sins that you came out of. Not to revisit them, to remember how bad it can get. Never forget that. Don't think because now you're squeaky clean or think you're starting to shine that you look down upon those who are trapped in these same situations. And it says in verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. That's the goal. Can you imagine? Getting to a point where you never stumble. Maybe you're at the point where you're not doing what you used to as much. And that's good. And some of us are at a point where just a little bit more percentage-wise, we're not doing that. But maybe some of us are at a point where we don't touch, we don't look. If something comes up, we turn the other way. You're doing everything you can to keep on the straight and narrow. But then you got this going on. Don't you hate this? This part right here? But don't let this come out of this. Because then it's your sin is infecting others or affecting others. Be careful. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your election call sure. For if these things are yours, you will never stumble. It says, verse 11, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You will increase more and more. What did Jesus say? If you invest what I've given you, I'll give you more. The rich become richer. He wasn't talking about money necessarily. If you're rich in Christ, you'll be richer. And if you're richer in Christ, he'll give you more. And if you're hungry for God, he'll give you more. And if you're laying down more, he gives you more and more and more. He says an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom, not this temporal kingdom. You could be dirt poor, but you are rich in the eyes of the Lord, and he's got treasures for you among treasures in the everlasting kingdom, not money. What are you going to do with money? What are you going to do with gold? How many of you are just dying to get a piece of asphalt from the road? Oh, if I could get a piece of asphalt from the road, that black gold with gravel in it and sand, and I would put it in a glass cabinet and I'd make jewelry out of it. The streets in heaven are gold. That's pavement. Can't even imagine what he really has. I think the real treasure is going to be in the presence of God, not the things in heaven. The presence of God. It says, as we go further, in verse 12, for this reason, Peter says, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth, but I'm never going to stop repeating it. I'm never going to stop repeating it. Yes, I think it right. As long as I am in this tent, that's what he calls this covering, this body, to stir you up by reminding you. What's Peter trying to do? He's trying to get the fire stoked up. You know how it is in the winter? I have a northern room, and in that northern room, it's kind of big, and there's no walls except the outside walls, so everything gets cold a little faster. And the thing is, you got to stoke that fire. We have wood burner in there, and you got to stoke that fire, because if you don't, it starts going down, you feel it right away. Don't grow cold. Have your billows going like that and just start fanning that flame into a fire. Those coals, maybe you have nothing but coals and you come to, I got a few coals, they're barely embers. God will start blowing on them. And you know what happens. But here, you see it going down and when you forget about it, I go in there and Yvonne says, it's kind of cold in there, go check it out. And there's just a little tiny ember. Put a little tiny, and it glows, and it glows, and it glows, and then eventually, and you open the door a little air in, and then eventually just get the ember that you have and let God blow on. He says, yes, I think it right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up, knowing that shortly I must put off this tent. I'm going to die soon, just as our Lord Jesus showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. So he wrote it down. You know what I do with my kids? I write things down and I keep them and I keep them and I keep them. Things of God. And I tell them, you know, when I die, you're going to have to clean out this stuff. I'm putting it there on purpose. All these things, I have them right there, stacking up, stacking up, stacking up. The Bible, my youngest already said, I want your Bible, Dad. Because she knows I write on this one a bunch. She says, all I want is your Bible. And that's it. It's yours. She asked first. What are we leaving? What kind of legacy, what kind of inheritance are we leaving our children? For we did not follow, he tells you, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have this reminder after my decease, for we did not follow cunning devised fables when we made known to you the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses to his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son. Remember when he got baptized in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard his voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have a prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed. In other words, listen to me. Listen to me, guys, as a light that shines in the darkness. Let this light shine in the dark areas of your heart, of your mind, of your conscience, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture was of any private interpretation. Timothy talks about it being breathed into man as they wrote this. The Holy Spirit breathed into these guys and told them what to write. And if you notice, as we go through these false teaching or false teacher warning and books, they kind of mirror each other in a lot. They almost have a lot of the same words in there. You'll see. There's no private interpretation, but there is no scripture that is a private interpretation. It's all the same for all of us. For prophecy never came by the will of man. If it's coming by the will of man, whose prophecy is it? It's man's. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Verse 1 of chapter 2 says, but there were also false prophets among you. There were and there will be false prophets, false teachers till the end. Among you who secretly, the old King James uses the word privily, to be near, be here, at hand. Like you guys are at hand, I can reach out and touch you. And it says that these people secretly or privily bring themselves near to you in the church. That's where they're going to be. They're not going to be in the bars or in the Satan worshipers. They're going to be in the churches because they're called by their own free will to not come under any authority to go out and make disciples twice the hell of themselves, it says. I think in the book of Timothy. Interesting. Isn't that interesting? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Don't let the little bit of leaven in. So here this word privily means present in or around the vicinity. This word in the Hebrew literally starts with the word para that we talked about of the Holy Spirit with us. They're with us. The false teachers? Yeah. Don't be scared. You got the Word of God. You got the Holy Spirit. You're working on the areas where we should be, working on those areas. Don't be afraid of the false teachers. Don't give them an ear. The Bible says in the last days they will have itchy ears going from place to place to place to place to place to place to place and thinking it's right. That's not what the Lord teaches. It says, secretly bringing in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them there. Come to our church. You can smoke all the pot you want. Come to our Bible studies. We're drinking it up, man. As much as you want. Heresy. False teaching. False doctrines. Even denying the Lord who brought them there. And bring on themselves swift destruction. Earlier, about 2 weeks ago, I think, we read, how do they deny the Lord? By their actions, their works. And many will follow their destructive ways. Don't be part of that. Don't buy into that destructive way. I was talking to a gentleman today who God has a call in his life, and he was asking me to pray for him. He might be moving out of town, and big move. And I told him, don't become a part of the progressive church. Heck no, he says. I don't want that. And it's interesting, it says here, they follow destructive ways because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Jesus will be blasphemed by these false people. By covetousness, notice, they will exploit you with what? Deceptive words. Not truthful words. Words that sound truthful. Not truthful doctrine, doctrine that sounds truthful. That's the deception. Satan is behind the deception and in the minds of these people because the Bible says he was a deceiver from the beginning. And what does he do? He deceives you. Look, 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 look. And he's getting you over here where you're not paying attention. Just like the magician, you know, sleight of hand, they call your attention over here and they're doing this over here and they make it appear. That's what he's talking about. And it says, by covetousness, deceptive words, for a long time their judgment has not been idle and their destruction does not slumber. That's where we're going to end. Notice what it says. They're not idle. They never stop. It never stops. One disappears, another one shows up. They're never idle. Something to think about. Heavenly Father, we want to come before you, Lord God. We know what you're telling us here, Lord God, each and every one of us. Father, we ask, Lord, that we will stay close to you, that we would be sure that we've asked you into our heart, that you are in us, Lord God. And Father, we know you're with us. Father, we want you to be upon us. Maybe there are some here that are still kind of winging it. And Father, they just want to take that extra step of being baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by oil, not by water, but by power of the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you have your way, and that if there's anyone here tonight, Lord God, that wants to be baptized in your Holy Spirit, that wants the power that you offer to them upon them, that they would have no fear, because the Bible says that fear is not of God. It's the opposite of faith. And Holy Spirit, that you would rest upon them as they quietly open their heart, their mind, and their soul to you, and they ask you, precious Spirit of God, come upon me. Come upon me, Lord God, that I may have power from above, not to raise the dead necessarily, but to raise my dead spirit within me, that I may be able to be strong in the midst of temptation, that I would be able to be wise in the presence of deception. Lord God, that I would lay down my former life and take up the new life that you have given me, not just speak of it, Lord God, that I would do it, that my fruit would be evidence, Lord God, and my self-control, Lord God, that I would add to it, Heavenly Father, that I would be diligent to add virtue and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and kindness, brotherly love, to others, Lord God, that I wouldn't think of myself first, that I would think of others first. Holy Spirit, come upon me. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If that's you, continue in the Word of God. Continue in prayer. God bless you.